The following message is the second in a series of six messages entitled, The Weapons of Our Warfare. For additional copies of this message, write John Osteen Ministries, Post Office Box 23117, Houston, Texas 77228.
Let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the book of Acts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to study the Bible together for the next 30 minutes here. Well, most of you know this verse of Scripture in 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not what? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, the thing that I want you to notice that we do have weapons, we do have a warfare. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. I'll tell you, whether you realize it or not, you can go put your head in the sand, but you still have a battle. You still have a fight. You have an enemy. You have an adversary. You have opponents. So you might as well get the armor. You might as well get something ready, and you might as well contest the devil and fight the good fight of faith. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, I'm not just talking about the fight of faith, but I'm just talking about the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs of life. How many of you know that life is not a bed of roses? Put up your hand. There is an invisible, indefinable something that stands against all Christians from the spirit world, and we know where it comes from. Is that right? Amen. Now, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. If you start fighting, that's what happens in normal denominational churches. The devil comes in and tries to stir things up, and they start carnal fighting. The preacher and the deacons and the members and the divide up sides and begin to do this and do that and do the other. That's carnality. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Answer me when I say something good. They're mighty through God. I'll tell you they are. Now, those weapons, oh, we could say we have many weapons. We have an armor, you know, and the weapons, we use the name of Jesus and all of that that we normally know about. But I want to emphasize to you that God has given us as weapons the supernatural nine gifts of the Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you know, many times we overlook the fact that God wants these things operating in our lives. Every child of God is supposed to have the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation in his life. I mean, every one of you, the dullest, dumbest, most ignorant, backward one of you. In fact, you qualify more than some of the smart alecks. Are you out there? You know, people that get educated, they somehow think God's supposed to use them, and God doesn't use them quite as much as just some ignorant somebody that says, well, if it's God, it'll have to be a gift for me because I don't have anything to qualify. God chose the weak things and the base things and the foolish things to confound the wise. How many of you believe you qualify? I do. Hallelujah. That lets me in. Hallelujah. Well, now, I'm reading out of the Amplified, and I'm just going to emphasize, just two or three verses here. It says, like I said Sunday, in verse 1, chapter 12, now about spiritual gifts. Then it amplifies, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Now look at me. That's exactly what the Holy Ghost said. That there is available to us a special endowment of supernatural energy. The life, the resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he said, concerning this supernatural energy, I would not have you to be ignorant or misinformed. Now, way back on the back, listen to me. God doesn't want you to be ignorant about the weapons of your warfare. There are supernatural gifts. that can move in your life in the warfare, spiritual warfare. Now, he lists 9 gifts. The gift of faith, the gift of miracles, the working of miracles, the gifts of healings, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues, I'm not reading, the gift of prophecy, and the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits. They're all listed right there, 9 of them. Say there are 9 spiritual gifts. Say that.
There are 9 spiritual gifts.
All right, now they're all supernatural. It's a manifestation of the power of God. And they are available to each one of us. Now, let me read one other verse of Scripture there. It says in verse 4, now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments. And then the Amplified says this, extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. Ruthie, I like that. Extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. You see, there's extraordinary powers that will distinguish Ted in his ministry, Renee in her ministry, Sam in his ministry, Teresa in her ministry. Extraordinary powers. Thank God it's extraordinary. Extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. In other words, everlasting one of us should be distinguished by the supernatural energy of God's gifts in our lives. Every one of us. Every one of us. Now, here's another verse of Scripture in here I want to emphasize tonight. Look in verse 7. If you don't have an Amplified with you, check it out when you get home. But to each one, everybody say each one.
Each one.
Say it out loud.
Each one.
That includes me. Say that.
That includes me.
Now look at me. Do you mean to tell me you believe that, that that includes you?
Amen.
To each one, say that.
To each one.
That includes me.
That includes me.
That includes me.
That includes
me. It'll do you good to say this now. Say, that includes me.
That includes me.
Now listen to this. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. All right, now every one of us have that. Now I want to show you what the Holy Ghost really said there in the Amplified. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. That is the evidence. See, the evidence of His presence in your life. And then it says the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and profit. In other words, every one of us can have a special spiritual illumination. The most thrilling thing that I have ever experienced is to be spiritually illuminated suddenly and supernaturally. And the wonderful thing about it is, it says to every one of us, there is available a spiritual illumination. In other words, God turns the switch on and lights us up. Oh, glory to God. There is a spiritual illumination in the gifts of the Holy Ghost for every one of us. But you know, I find this, that if we're not careful, we'll just settle down and just sort of drag along in life and get on a pretty good spiritual plane and just leave these things out of our lives and just don't cultivate them. Just say, well, if they come along, all right. And you know, after all, I'll just read my Bible and pray and act the best I can, you know. But that isn't what God says here. God said He wants us to do something about these gifts. I tell you, God wants this church to be so stirred, so moved, so hungry for the weapons of our warfare, for the mighty manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Oh, to see little children illuminated, to see young people illuminated and moving in the Holy Ghost, to see housewives illuminated, to see businessmen illuminated, not just in church, but in the hospitals, on the sidewalks of our cities, in the business, suddenly a spiritual illumination comes. I'll tell you, I know this is not maybe a gift of the Spirit, but I remember distinctly standing in a hotel ballroom, corridor, and there were a lot of people out there in a convention, but a lot of people who weren't in a convention, and I want you to know suddenly there were a whole group of people there talking about 10 or 15, that came on me a spiritual elevation and illumination. That has only happened about 3 or 4 times in my life, that suddenly I was illuminated with the power of God, and I jumped right in the middle of those people, and many of them didn't know me from Adam, and I just began to touch them in the name of Jesus, and I tell you, I'm not just great on falling out, but I mean they went out like cordwood. I mean that power was there. And I remember, I think I told this, but I'd like to tell it again. I was on the airplane going to Honolulu, and it was right after Lisa's birthday, and I think the day after her birthday, something like that, and I'd moved around. There was a lot of room in that 747, a lot of vacant seats, and I got back there where I could have me 3, and I was, you know, resting. I have me ear special earplugs, and covers. I mean, I look like the Lone Ranger. I don't hear thunder. I plug up my ears and I cover up my eyes and I lie down and I just sleep all the way, you know. But anyway, I'd had me a good nap and I just sitting up there and I got to thinking. I was sitting there by myself, see, and nobody had those seats that were mine. Dodie was up front someplace and in other seats and with the children. And so I got to thinking about Lisa being healed. And I got to praising God. I just said, well, it won't hurt me to put up my hands, you know. Just praising God, you know, and just praising the Lord. Just thanking God she wasn't a cripple all of her life, you know. And thanking God she was a sophomore now in Oral Roberts University. See, she was born with a cerebral palsy. Dr. Molly Stevens, right here, the pediatrician in Pasadena, treated her. And she told us she'd be abnormal the rest of her life. And, you know, and Jesus healed her, made her normal. And I was just going through just the joy. I'm just praising God. And she was now, what, 19 years old. And I believe it's going to last, don't you? Praise God. And anyway, I just put up my hand and I just blessing God, just praising him. And, you know, I never just really thought about it, but the fella, man, woman sitting across the aisle were pretty close to me, you know. And they got to looking over there, and I just had my hands up in the air, you know, like this, and just prayed. It looked like I was talking to myself, you know. And they got to looking at me, and I looked over there and smiled. I said, well, you may wonder what I was doing. I said, but I went through that whole story. I don't want to tell it here because we don't have time, about Lisa and about all that happened to her. And I said, she had her 19th birthday, you know. And I said, I was just thanking Jesus and praising God and giving him glory. I wasn't trying to put on a show. I said, I'm just real thrilled about it, you know. And they kind of smiled sheepishly and got up and moved. You know, they weren't discourteous, but after I turned my head, they kind of looked at each other and whoosh, they went up front. But you know, suddenly sitting there alone in those 3 seats there, there came to me a spiritual illumination. A spiritual illumination. I was elevated in my spirit. I mean, something turned on the inside of me. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, I felt something that, I'm not talking about electricity. There was an illumination. I said, Lord, I'm not ashamed to pray for everybody on this plane. I said, you heal Lisa. And I suddenly had such a desire to pray for the sick. I tell you, I had such a desire to lay hands on people. I had such a compassion for the sick people on that plane. And something said to me, said, well, if you have this compassion, why don't you get up and pray? And something said, you better sit here. You'll make a fool out of yourself. And I made a decision. I said, Lord, I'm going up and down these aisles. I'm just going to ask people. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to be a fool for Jesus. You heal Lisa. And I don't care what people think of me. They can't get out of the plane, listen, jump off. Now, one thing's sure, I know I was willing to do it. I was willing to do it. But as soon as I started up, the Holy Ghost said, sit down. I sat next to the window. Just sit down. See if you let God do what he wants to do. Now, here come 2 men. They're coming down the aisle talking, not paying attention to me, didn't even know hardly I was sitting there. Those weren't their seats. They were sitting back in the back, and they were talking, you know. And while they were talking, they just sat down, one with his back to me, you know, just sat there. I didn't ask them to sit there. Weren't even supposed to sit there. They just sat there, and I heard one of them saying to the other, oh, I tell you, they were so sick. They were so sick. I didn't think I was going to come. They're so near death. And they began to pour out their hearts, you see, and God just brought them right up there to me. And I listened to him a little while tell about all that sickness and all that trouble, all that sorrow. And I said, excuse me, I tell you, I was just vibrating by then. But you know, I said, excuse me, I said, I couldn't help it over here. You're talking about all of this trouble and this sickness and the terrible condition this person is in. I said, I know the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I said, he promised to heal the sick. And I said, he healed my daughter, and I've seen him do many things. I said, why don't we just pray for that person right now? And before they could say no, I just bowed my head and touched both of them on the hands and began to pray. And asked God to send his healing virtue and thanked him that he sent them there to sit beside me. And I tell you, one of them looked at me and said, well, I'm a Baptist deacon. He said, I love Jesus. And, you know, and didn't talk to him much more and got him and left. And, you know, in a few minutes, a man came along there, and I didn't even know at all. And he sat down, and he said, are you Brother Osteen? I said, I am. He said, you know, I've had a heart attack. And he said, I need prayer. And I'm telling you, God will set you on a 747 and bring people and set them beside you to pray. Glory be to God. But the thing I was emphasizing, it talks about to every one of us is given a spiritual illumination. Now, friends, I want to tell you, our God is supernatural. Aside from just reading the Bible, aside from acting on the word, which is the highest form of pleasing God, there are available to all of us supernatural weapons. Supernatural weapons. But the Bible says that we should hunger for them, cultivate them, earnestly desire them. They're not going to fall on us like leaves off of the tree. They're not just, it won't happen. You can live your life out and miss all of your ministry unless you stir yourself up. The Bible says, look here, it says in the 31st verse of chapter 12, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate these gifts. That's what it says in the Amplified. Earnestly desire. And I just have to plead guilty, Margie. There's been a long period of time that I was not too interested, you know, even though I believed, but I didn't cultivate and earnestly desire. And the Lord's put it in my heart to do it for myself and urge you to earnestly desire and to cultivate. Seek after, stir up the gifts of God that are within you. Oh, the most thrilling thing in the world you could ever feel or know, or whether you feel it or not, to behold it, is suddenly God working through you by these gifts. I'll tell you, friends, satanic power and the world cannot stand before the gifts of the Holy Spirit without being defeated. I tell you, I only a few great miracles have I seen personally. I preached and seen many in mass crusades, but only a few. But what a thrill. 15, 16 years ago, when I think about that mighty miracle on my sister, totally given up to die, a hopeless epileptic, lost her mind, and instantly healed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thrill of that remains with me till this day. And the thrill of Sister McWhirter over here just a year or two ago, totally incapacitated, couldn't lift her arms above this level, knots all over her body, all of her life crippled with rheumatoid arthritis, had to crawl on her hands and knees for a year or two, and instantaneously, Jesus, by the gift of healing, just set her free instantly. What a thrill. What a thrill. But you know what makes me sad? I have seen too few of these things happen. Too few. It ought not to just be in my life. It ought to be in the lives of children, young people. Carl, Steve, Mike, young boys and girls. Why, God delights in giving the glory of God upon young people as well as adults. And if we'll earnestly desire these things and keenly attune our spirit to what the Spirit wants to do. Now, there is the gift of miracles. There is the working of gift of the working of miracles. There's the gifts of healings. There is the gift of faith, wonder-working faith. There is the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. There is the gift of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. There is the gift of discerning of spirits. Now, in the book of Acts, now I only have 5 minutes here, and I promise to let you out on time, and I'm not going to grieve the Holy Ghost, but I do want to try to keep within the time here. But in the book of Acts, let me just mention them, and we'll maybe go into this further later. But in chapter 2, we had the gift of tongues, and we know what that did. They had the glossolalia there at first, and then the gift of tongues, because they spoke in languages they could understand. So chapter 2, just write this down. You can check it out later. I want you to see in the book of Acts that they constantly lived in these gifts. And they mightily confounded their generation. And I hear somebody say, well, surely God wouldn't use somebody like me. He surely would. If you would get that devil's thought out of your mind. Chapter 3 is the gift of miracles. He just said, silver and gold have I none, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he said, well, if we get rid of all of our silver and gold, we'd have miracles. I didn't say that at all. He just didn't happen to have any on him. He's going to prayer without getting his pocketbook, maybe. But wouldn't it be wonderful if some of us could walk up to a cripple and say to somebody in a wheelchair, somebody with withered limbs, and the gift of wonder-working miracles come through us, and God so easily does it, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, and see their limbs straighten out and rise up. That's possible, and not only possible, but God wants it to happen. But it's when a church begins to yearn and fast and pray for God to move on the scene. I'm telling you, folks, we haven't touched the hem of the garment. We are entering into an era when we will see these gifts mightily in operation. For there are people, yes, saith the Lord, I have a people who are separating themselves from the world and walking away from it and climbing the great mountain of God and separating themselves unto me, that I may speak to them and clothe them with my power, and they shall give me glory and they shall receive honor because of obedience, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, don't patty cake, clap to the Lord. Thank God, thank God, thank God. But you see, these gifts were in operation. But they're not for you to always just be getting all the attention in a church someplace. God's gifts works outside of the church. That's one failing I've had. And I've corrected that. I've always just thought of the service and how God could move that. If we'll stay in tune with God, He'll use us all the time. Actually, the service ought to be a place to come be taught the Word of God. And the mighty gifts of the Holy Spirit ought to be far more in manifestation out yonder in our walk than even in church service. I can't preach in 30 minutes. I just can't do it. Just can't do it. But anyway, you just follow on through the book of Acts, and you will find. You will find out that they just, well, how many of you would like me to finish this maybe Sunday? Praise God. Well, the rest of you might as well clap, because I'm going to do it later anyway. Go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap for it. But the Bible says, earnestly desire, cultivate the spiritual gifts. Do not be ignorant of the spiritual gifts. I could just go all the way through the book of Acts tonight, and I could just show you again and again and again. They lived in the supernatural. They didn't so much talk about the gifts as they demonstrated the gifts. They demonstrated the gifts. And friends, listen, it's going to surprise you, the people that are going to be used in this church. I mean, it's not going to necessarily happen here. Why, I think of, is Claudia here tonight? Claudia's not here. She's a little Methodist woman. Why, I'll tell you, you know, Rufus over here and Claudia, you know, now her husband doesn't have complete healing yet, but you know what that Methodist woman's doing? She's just startling everybody. She's going out, and God's using that woman, and legs are growing out, and people are being healed in their bodies of other ailments. Just a Methodist woman. I mean, she just dares to just believe God. And if you'll hunger, listen to me as a close. If you'll hunger and thirst and cultivate and earnestly desire the gifts of the Holy Ghost, you will begin to get spiritual illumination. Spiritual illumination. You may not understand it at first. I remember when the gifts of revelation started in me. When I began to see right out of here and perceive, I didn't understand what it meant. I didn't know what I was seeing. It was by trial and error. But you see, if you will just follow the spiritual illumination and the love that's in you, and don't pigeonhole God and say, "Now, God, I just want one gift and that's all I want." Let God do it like He wants to. He distributes to every man as He wills, as He wills. You just earnestly desire and cultivate and love Jesus and say, "I want to edify the body. I want to help win souls. I want to be useful. I'm available. Just show me. Just teach me." And suddenly there'll come a spiritual illumination, a love flow, a something that will guide you. And you may not understand it all at once, but oh, just follow it and let God teach you, and He'll bless you, bless you, bless you. And I'll tell you, people will rise up and call you blessed because you have come their way in love. Friends, listen, you can have all the money in the world, all the money in the world, and you would not be as rich as you will be when one spiritual illumination and supernatural flow of God's divine energy comes through you to help a needy person. You will never, never get over it because it's thrilling. And the Bible says it's for each of you. It's for each of you. Each of you. Tell you how to get your home back together. The discerning of spirits will reveal. See where the spiritual power, see, is breaking up your home. The gift of faith will give you faith. You see, there was a man, I don't know whether that couple's here tonight or not, but I'll tell you, there was a couple here, and their home was gone. Gone, gone, gone down the drain. I mean, that wife said, "I'm not going to live with him. I'm through. You might as well hush." And he was going his way. But you know, God dropped wonder-working faith in his heart. Brother Eddie, I don't know whether he's here tonight or not. Oh, see here? Stand up. Both of you stand up. I'm going to use an illustration. I tell you, I like for you to be right here. I mean, now, didn't you tell me? Didn't you tell me that I mean. And Eddie was just about giving up too. Now, but one day Eddie told me, it certainly wasn't my faith. I'll tell you this, he told me, he said, "Brother Osteen, I am going to have my home. I will not, I'm going to serve God whether I have it or not, but I'm going to have my home. I'm going to have it." And you know, when you were telling me that, I was thinking, boy, you didn't hear her tell me what she told me. I was saying really down in my mind, but I wouldn't tell you, too late, too late, too late, too late. But you see, I didn't have the wonder-working faith. You did. You knew you did, didn't you? You knew it. You had an assurance. And I want to tell you, brother, I tell you, not only, stand back up there, not only are they going to live together, but they're going to multiply. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'll tell you, these gifts will help you know how to run your business, how to get better jobs, how to get your home in order, how to do things. These gifts will move in your behalf. They're the weapons of our warfare. Let's stand and just give the Lord a real praise offering. Lift your hands and praise Him, would you? Praise Him with all of your heart. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Come here, brother. Larry. Put these candles out for me. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Him for the gifts. Praise Him for the gifts. Father, I praise You for the mighty supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I and this congregation are yearning, are seeking after, and cultivating, and desiring deeply the manifestation and the illumination of the gifts of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Oh, God, I praise You for the mighty gift of the working of miracles, for the mighty gift of wonder-working faith, for the mighty gifts of healings. I thank You, Lord, for the mighty, mighty gift of prophecy and the mighty gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues and the gift of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and the mighty gift of discerning of spirits. Oh, God, distribute unto these hungry people your mighty gifts. And Lord, let them be mightily equipped as they go out in the battles of life. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Would you bow your heads now in prayer? Have you enjoyed this?
Amen.
All right, while our eyes are closed. I fed the sheep tonight, but there are people here who are in need. How many of you said, Brother Osteen, I'm not right with God. I know I'm not really living for God. I'm not living for God. I don't have peace in my heart. I need prayer. Lift up your hand. Now, just be honest. You know whether you're living for God or not. There's one, two, three, four, five, six. Thank you. Put down your hand. Anyone else now? Anyone else? I'm not living for God. I don't have peace in my heart. There's another. I don't have peace in my heart. Another. All right, another. I don't have peace. I'm not at peace with God. I need prayer. I'm not ready to live. I'm not ready to die. Thank you. I saw that. And anyone else? Oh, friends, don't go away with a burden like that. Lift your hand. Anyone else? All right, all you people who lifted your hand, step out here in front of me, right down in front of me quickly. I mean boldly. Come down here and stand without hesitation. Come on, that's it. Just stand right there. Thank God. Here they come, folks. Here they come. Every one of you come. Thank God. Thank God. Isn't this wonderful? I said, isn't this wonderful? Praise God. All right, the rest of you. The rest of you that lifted your hand, come. Here's one young man came with a headset on back there. So some of you that talk Spanish, get him up here and talk with him. Come right on down here and stand. Anyone else? You lifted your hand. Now look at me right here. Now you speak English? Okay, now someone slip up there beside him and tell him what I say. All right? All right, now look at me. First of all, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that you're not here by accident. The very fact that you're here tells me that God is dealing with your life. He's interpreting this. See, I'll wait a moment. Now you say, well, what do I have to do? Well, open your heart and accept Jesus into your heart. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or daughters of God. You see, it's not becoming religious or joining a church or joining a new religion. It's accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you in my heart. I don't want to just be religious. I want eternal life. The Bible says, he that has the Son has life, eternal life. How do you get the Son? By accepting him into your heart. Now, if you have once known the Lord and really been saved, if you once known the Lord and really been saved, the Bible says, return unto me and I'll return unto you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll wipe out all your sins. Now, I want you to say this out loud with them. You people pray it, and you people pray it. Oh, God,
without Jesus,
I'm lost forever. But I don't want to be lost. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And I want to thank you that you keep your word. You come into my heart. You forgive me. You cleanse me. You save me. And I believe it. Right now, I am saved. I am saved. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. Oh, thank God. My burden is gone. Lift up your hands and praise Him for it. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, look at me. I want you to turn around to the person behind you and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and I'm a Christian. Turn around and tell him. Thank God, thank God, thank God. All right. Now, we want you to go to the prayer room to see the Bible for yourself. They'll talk to you about water baptism. They'll talk to you about some other things, give you some little booklets. So I want you to go right this way. Follow this man right here, and they'll help you in the prayer room. Are you glad you came tonight? Well, praise God. Let's sing before we go. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven.